A lot of clouds, kind of drizzly, kind of one of those pain in the patooka days to drive, I can tell you that much. Wipers high, wipers low, wipers on, wipers off. But anyway, still 44 degrees in Randolph and Guilford County. Hello, Doc. How in the world are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing fair to partly cloudy, I guess you would say, about like the weather. Anyway, Dr. Stephen Ganey, superintendent of Randolph County Schools, our special guest here this morning, and always good to have him along with us for sure. I assume you're done with your Christmas shopping and everything, and, you know, you're ready to go. No?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you could do like my wife does, buy stock in Amazon at some point. Anyway, all right, let's get into it today. We're talking about the state of education, not only in the United States, but North Carolina, Randolph County, of course, in particular. One thing I did want to talk a bit about this morning is mental health. As far as the students are concerned, I have some studies here. One that says 15% of teens suffered at least one major depressive episode just this past year. 306,000 teens over the previous 12 months, and that is the data according to the Mental Health America. On top of that, now here's part of the disturbing deal on this. On top of that, nearly two-thirds with major depression say they haven't gotten any help whatsoever. Also, we have this. One in five children or adolescents experience a mental health problem during their school years. Examples are stress, anxiety, bullying, family problems, depression, learning disability, alcohol, and substance abuse. And I guess this doesn't come as any major surprise or anything, but you hear some of the stories. In particular, some of the kids just don't have the greatest home life in the world. I mean, let's go ahead and admit that, and we can get that out there in front. What are the schools doing to address some of these mental health problems?
Well, first and foremost, what happens at all schools and what is so powerful is the relationships staff members build with students. Those relationships carry a long way in helping us identify needs that different students. Everybody has their kids have different needs, and trying to assess where students are and what their needs are is very critical. And I believe a big important step to being able to do that successfully is the relationships built between students and staff, and building that trust between the student and staff, or maybe the student feels comfortable sharing if there are concerns. We obviously have counselors at schools. We have social workers. We have student advocates at high school, middle school. So we have staff that have specific duties in these areas, but overall it's the comprehensive approach by the school system with all staff members to build relationships. Those classroom teachers build relationships with children, and that trust factor is what helps us get to the root of some of these issues and address them and have success.
Okay, and that's part of the question, too, as far as that's involved in that. As far as the staffing is concerned, is there adequate staffing to take care of these kids' needs?
Well, we always could have more staff in these areas. We deal with that fine line of availability of staffing as far as availability of candidates versus availability of resources. Those are two things that impact this. But, I would be the first to tell you, I think that, yes, we could easily use more staffing in some of these areas, these support areas, the counselor areas, the social works areas, school nurses. Then you get into the resource issue and the availability of people to hire in those positions becomes become complicating factors in this. But that's why when someone wants to talk about this conversation with me, it's a comprehensive approach, and you can't put all this on the counselors and the social workers and the nurses and the support staff in those areas. You can't just say, well, these are issues you deal with, because we all deal with them in schools. And it starts with those relationships that teachers build and staff build with students when they walk in the door. To me, the biggest thing about school is gaining the trust of your children, so they feel comfortable in your school, because when they feel comfortable, that's when they're going to learn. And when they feel comfortable, if there are issues that children need our help with, we're going to learn those, because they're going to eventually share them, or through our relationships, we're going to notice things that need to be addressed.
And so, you mentioned the one-on-one as far as teachers are concerned. And you have to assume that teachers are probably the first line on this as far as that's concerned. They're the folks who see this first. If there is an issue in class or even outside of class or whatever, but are the teachers really equipped to handle this, or in most instances, do they just pass this along to a counselor or whatever?
Well, it depends on what level we're at with the situation. I mean, there's, you know, that relationship building and that working with children. Sometimes it's, you know, whether it's, you know, is it a confidence issue with a child on what you're doing in the classroom, or is it a issue that's bigger than the classroom that needs the outside support. Our teachers are I've watched teachers for years, and they have this ability to know when to call in the extra support from the staff, whether it be the counselor or the social worker. So, you know, that's kind of a situational thing that we deal with in schools is when does the teacher call for the counselor or refer to the counselor or refer to the principal, which might lead to the child being to an appointment with the counselor. Or yeah, our counselors are very active too. Our counselors, you don't just go in schools and see counselors just sitting in offices. They're out and about. So they're out there observing what's going on as well, and they pick up on a lot of things, you know, with students. So, you know, I had to go back to my first comment. School is a comprehensive, an effective school is a very comprehensive organization with everybody involved in so many different tasks than just what maybe these are my duties on paper, but they go far beyond that for teachers. Mm-hmm. They go far beyond that for counselors, for social workers, for principals, support staff, you know, the clerical staff in the front office. You know, yeah, they have duties that they have to do, but their duties go far beyond. They get to know the students, and they see things and say, wait a minute, that child's been coming in here all year and something's different. Mm-hmm. And that's how let me share that with a counselor, and then that's how we identify there may be an issue going on with the child.
Well, you know, I know
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just
no, it's okay.
I have the highest level respect for people who work in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody, if you haven't been in that school, in a school, and seen what happens when the children come to school every day, you really just, you can imagine it, but you haven't experienced it. And I just have that'll be forever, as long as I'm on this earth, that'll be forever. One of the things that I admire is the many things that people on school campuses do for kids every day and the different roles they play. Child by child, because it is individual. It is individual. You can have 800 children on your campus, but you may have 800 different approaches, one per child, to making that, helping that child be successful.
And let's just say, when it comes as far as to teenagers are concerned, having gone through three of them myself, getting stuff out of teenagers is not exactly the easiest thing in the world sometimes.
And sometimes you have to depend on that school staff member who's developed that level of trust with the child that the child shares. And that's when all pieces are working together, when people say, well, I've seen this, and I need to make sure someone else is aware of it. I mean, what our principals do every day. You know, there's a list of duties that principals do, but it's far-reaching with that. Assistant principals, counselors, you name it. I could take their formal list, and I could double and triple it. And it's the double and tripling of their duties. It's and teachers double and triple that, and it's all for kids.
Okay,
take care of kids.
Let's just say, because you mentioned you could always use more counselors, you could always use more folks in that capacity or whatever. If someone really, really wants to make a difference, and they can really make a difference in this, that's for sure. If you're in it for the pay, you're in the wrong thing. I can tell you that much. But as far as making differences are concerned, how many folks could the county hire right now?
Last I looked, I was just looking. I think we have five counselor vacancies
five.
In the system right now.
That's pretty significant.
It is. And we have, 15 years ago, we were talking about vacancies in the math, science, and EC areas.
Mm-hmm.
As far as teacher positions, the last 7 or 8 years, elementary school teacher positions have become very difficult to fill. We saw this, superintendent saw this coming about 7 or 8 years ago. counselor positions. Like I said, we have five. If my memory is right, the report I looked at recently, we had five system-wide. So, but, you know, we have some great ones. We have some great people in these positions, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. I wouldn't trade. I mean, you start in our school system, and you go to all the position areas, whether it's support staff, you know, counselors, teachers, assistant principal. I wouldn't trade them for anybody. I mean, I wouldn't. We've got great ones all around, and they're all doing the very best they can. And you mentioned something. We can't control what goes on beyond us, beyond our school, but we surely can control what we do to try to take care of kids. And what I've seen for this is 9.5 years for me here, and what I see is people every day coming to work and putting forth their best effort to take care of kids. And you know, I've been fortunate to work in three school systems in my career, and I've seen it everywhere. I don't know that I've seen it. I don't know that I've seen it like I've seen it here. It's just unbelievable the effort that's put forth every day on all 32 campuses.
That's pretty heady stuff right there, I would have to say. All right. It is indeed the most wonderful time of the year. Now, no, I try not to say that with a lot of sarcasm. I really, really do. But anyway, a couple of things on the calendar here. December the 20th, you're going to have a two-hour early release on that day. And then it's vacation time for the kiddos. They'll be out from December 21st through January 2nd. Now, have to ask you, what kind of challenges does this offer when basically pretty much close to the middle of the year, you're giving them a couple of weeks off here? how does that work when they come back into class?
Well, the big challenge is really, you know, one, it's going to be great to have a break. Like I say, I don't know that I've ever been around a group in my two previous stops. I know this. I've never seen more effort than I've seen in this school system in my two previous stops in my career. And so when we get to these breaks, I really I look forward to them for our staff and for our students and our parents. But it is a difficult break for the high schools because we have a calendar law that starts us later in August and makes the semester end in the middle of January. And being a former high school principal and loving the high school scene and spending three-quarters of my school-level experience at the high school scene, that is difficult. I think a lot of people would prefer, including myself, we could end the first semester as we go out to the break. Mm-hmm. But that has not been the case since I think it started with the 05-06 school year's first year we got moved back. So, but, again, it's back to what you talked about earlier. The questions you asked led me to be able to say this with great confidence. Our teachers, our staff, principals at the high school level, they're going to get it done for exams, and they'll do great things with kids, and kids will do great things, and parents will be right there with us because that's the beauty of this school system. The beauty of this school system is you got a great group of students, you got a great group of staff members, and you've got a great group of parents supporting this school system. You can't go wrong there. So, yeah, it's a little difficult. And I'm not discounting the difficulty that the middle and elementary school levels have because getting them back in gear and then it snows a little bit and we got a little bit of disruption. But at any rate, we deal with it. I'm just happy for our staff and our students and our parents to have this break. And that early release day is something that was in place when I came here 10 years ago or 9.5 years ago. And something we've always done, and so we're going to do it on the 20th and let everybody go have a great break.
Okay, kind of running out of time here this morning. Want to mention a couple of things. The middle and high school all-county choruses from Asheboro City Schools and Randolph County Schools, they had a performance on the 29th of November at Journey Church in Asheboro. Holiday art card designed by Larson Kelly, an 8th grade student from Southwestern Randolph Middle School, and her art teacher is Alyssa Accord. And Burton Cates honored, a high school football coach over at Eastern Randolph. He's 40th on Max Prep's list of winningest active high school football coaches in America. Pretty good stuff. Go.
So it's interesting you noted all three of those. And when I hear those, I hear great kids involved in all three. All-County Chorus, the Holiday Art Card, and obviously the football program at Eastern Randolph. You know, great kids. But also in there is what we were just talking about. Great staff members, those chorus teachers at high school, middle school level. There's no group better anywhere than ours. The holiday card, Alyssa Accord, the art teacher at Southwest Middle. I mean, this is her student. representing our school system. And then Burton Cates, just think about the hundreds of children that he's impacted in such a positive way. Not only here, he's been at Eastern Randolph twice and had a time period where he was at Lee County High School. But, you know, when I hear you talk about those different items on that list, I'm thinking kids, and I'm thinking how lucky we are to have had the great adults around these kids in these areas, because that's why, you know, again, it goes back to these adults are just so masterful in getting kids comfortable in the school environment where their talents come out and they achieve at high levels. So just want to say a big thank you to all the staff members that were involved in these three items that were featured, but also want to say a big thank you to all the staff members of Randolph County School System, because they are truly a special group.
And we want to say thank you for you to coming in today. We really appreciate that. And thank you to Tim Moody, the spin doctor over here with us this morning. Gentlemen, let me first, not the first, but let me just say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
It's 9:24. And to you too. 9:24 at the zoo.